back to the second final hour of this March 12th, live 2023 edition of Liberation Station Radio Show. The site is theliberationstation.com. The chat room is on the listen/archives page. So go to theliberationstation.com and click on the fourth page. That's the listen/archives page. And we're also streaming live on Facebook. Shared it over to the Republic Broadcasting Network Facebook page, facebook.com/republicbroadcasting, and your calls will be welcome here in about a half hour of more clip playing. We just have about 20 more minutes of this clip and then about 3 minutes of Fauci giving his lame rebuttal. And so I'm just going to play the relevant part from that interview on CNN that I found last night. So, this conversation is causing quite a bit of infighting, perhaps you might say, between former CDC Director Robert Redfield, who claims he was excluded from conversations with Fauci, and former NIH Director Francis Collins. He claims because it was his opinion that the SARS-CoV-2 virus came from a lab. And it'll be interesting this upcoming week to see what Robert Redfield has to say in response to Fauci. After all, he doesn't have anything to lose. He doesn't have any risk. He's not at risk of any malfeasance, any accusations of malfeasance. He apparently just seems to want to make sure that we're a freer and more educated populace. And by the way, not be so fearful, which causes disease, which causes a rise in cortisol level when you're afraid. When you're unduly afraid, well, that's a crime. When your government is trying to make you afraid in order to rob you of your God-given rights. And so seems like these folks are just sadomasochists that Jeffrey Jackson has been covering in the British government on the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, March 9th, 2023. So we're going to resume that clip for about 20 minutes and then play Fauci, and then we can take your calls or go into other news. It's up to you. Call the numbers 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252, and toll-free 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. So, Sam, when you're ready, please resume that clip.
Urges the legislator to create a new commission on domestic violent extremism. That's right here in America, composed of diverse stakeholders with the broad goal of establishing a comprehensive public health and community-based framework for responding to DVE. Well, just a year later, right now, 2023, that bill is being created. And it can be voted on right now, so call your representatives and really make your voice heard on this bill. Here's the headline that's reporting on this, and thank God people are. Critics warn Washington extremism bill targets free speech. And this article says HB 1333 creates a domestic violent extremism commission to develop ways to combat disinformation and misinformation. Here we go. Though the two words are not defined in the bill, also not defined is the term domestic violent extremism. So it's a blank check. And they can go after anybody they want. And that's what this bill looks like it's trying to do.
Wow. Very, very scary. Imagine Matt Hancock with the power to call you a terrorist if you were going against him or speaking the truth. Amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so one of the bright moments here, Del, at the High Wire is last week we reported on, well, as the rest of the world was reporting on the Department of Energy, the FBI saying there is a probability that the lab leak origin is something that is true. There is a possibility that COVID did come from an accidental lab leak. There was a sub story there at the time. And we ran with that story. And this was a story about Jeremy Farrar, the head of the Wellcome Trust, Dr. Jeremy Farrar, and how his names ended up in emails with America's top officials. Here's a look back at some of that reporting from last week.
Okay.
We see Jeremy Farrar take a quarterback position at this point in these emails. So he takes this just a couple days later, February 2nd, and Farrar emails the head of NIH, Francis Collins, and Tony Fauci on this email. So these big hitters here. And he says, on a spectrum, if zero is natural and 100 is released, I am honestly 50. My guess is that this will remain gray unless there is access to Wuhan lab, and I suspect that is unlikely. But gray from a respected group under the umbrella of, let's say, the WHO would in itself help. So Farrar here is already lobbying to get this conversation with this group they have couched in the WHO to help the conversation. We're going to see what help means from Farrar.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, everyone else was just saying, oh, China, we got to blame China. And you and I got together like, wait a minute, there's a much more important player here. Jeremy Farrar, who's now the head of the WHO, orchestrated the entire cover-up of the lab leak, you know, conversation, and made it all about natural origin in the face of other great scientists saying otherwise. So a huge player. Yep.
Huge player. And until last week, you know, Jeremy Farrar's name was really not too much on the minds or the tongues of our government or people seeking actual true facts or justice here. And then 3 days after that report we filed on Thursday, we had this update. Leaders of the Congressional Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic put forward this update, and they said in there, Section 3, uncredited involvement of Dr. Jeremy Farrar. There he is in black and white. It says, the evidence available to the select subcommittee suggests that Dr. Farrar, the former director of the Wellcome Trust and current chief scientist at the World Health Organization, was more involved in drafting and publication of proximal origins than previously known. He says, Dr. Farrar led the drafting process and made at least one uncredited direct edit to proximal origin.
And then we have headlines. Let me just take a moment here, Jeffrey. I mean, well, you know, I know we have headlines on this, but folks, you know, whether or not we actually have affected those that are doing this investigation, we know we have before. We put our information out. We're in conversations with lots of these people. And so a lot of times I talk about all of our legal cases. We talk about how great the reporting here is. Nobody else was covering Jeremy Farrar until we did last week. And now they're grilling people on Capitol Hill about Jeremy Farrar, as they should. So I want to just say this to those of you out there that sponsor the work that we do here. I say at the top of every show, you're our sponsors, not pharma, not Pfizer, not Moderna, not Exxon, nobody. You are. And so when you see what is possible, as we put this information out, you share this with all your friends, we are now reaching that critical mass space where we are affecting the politics of our country and the world. This is our moment. I mean, we're going to show you more throughout the show, but please, if you cannot say I'm directly involved with what is happening and changing my world around me and being a part of this momentum, then take this opportunity to become a sponsor for The High Wire and our nonprofit Informed Consent Action Network, because we are truly making a difference here, working hard to bring reporting when nobody else wants to. Nobody else wants to get into it. Nobody else is foreseeing what's going on. So please, we're asking right now to help us continue this work at the most critical time ever. Become a recurring donor. If you're at thehighwire.com or our icandecide.org, just click on donate now. Become a recurring donor. It's at the top of all of our screens. And then we're asking to, in the recurring donations in 2023, just how about $23 a month? It's less than your cable bill. It's less than almost everything else that you pay and be lied to. We're bringing you the truth, and we're actually having an effect on the politics and the policies in this country and around the world. We're going to make it easy to make a difference in this world. All you have to do is just text 72022 and then type in the word donate, and we'll send you a link right now. You're paying more for Fox and MSNBC that have all been lying to you. How about you fund those that are actually bringing the truth and now bringing the truth to power? Huge reporting, and it was really awesome to see this, Jeffrey. I knew we had to jump on it, and this is the fastest we've ever sort of seen them pick it up inside the Capitol. All right, continue on.
Yeah, it sure was. And so just a couple of days after that committee, the Congressional Committee report that I just read from, we have the Daily Mail exclusive. They write this. So now it's in the headlines. Experts call for lab leak denying Dr. Jeremy Farrar to be fired
Good.
From new post as World Health Organization's chief scientist after he censored debate about COVID origin. So, I mean, big, big push here from the public, from experts, from our Congress. And that brings us to our next story, which just happened. The Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic talking. The same people that put forward that letter just had a hearing, and they brought forward in that hearing Dr. Robert Redfield, the former CDC director, and they asked him about phone calls. So during that time, we have emails. We've went through those emails exhaustively.
Yeah.
But there's also phone calls that happen that accompanied those emails, kind of back-channel phone calls between Farrar and Fauci and Christian Anderson. And so they were asking the director Redfield, the former director of the CDC, if he was on those calls. Take a listen.
Chairman, for 2 years, myself and the other Republicans on this subcommittee connected the dots. We exposed the evidence supporting our strong belief that COVID was developed and leaked from the Wuhan lab. And during those same 2 years, the same Democrats that sit on this committee, they only hindered, they obstructed, they refused to hold hearings and get to the truth. Now we see mounting evidence supporting the COVID-19 originated from the lab in Wuhan, China, run by the Communist Chinese Party. And this hearing is about getting to the truth. I thank the chairman for making this the very first hearing, because the American people, who have seen just as many fellow Americans die from COVID, as nearly as many die from COVID that died in every war since the American Revolution combined, deserve to know the truth. Dr. Redfield, you pointed to the lab leak theory even before we did. In mid-January of 2020, you expressed concerns to Dr. Fauci, to Jeremy Farrar of UK's Wellcome Trust, and to Dr. Tedros of World Health Organization that, quote, we had to take the lab leak hypothesis with extreme seriousness. And you urged Dr. Fauci to investigate both the lab and the natural hypotheses. Shortly thereafter, on February 1st, Farrar convened a meeting of a group of 11 top scientists across five time zones and asked Dr. Fauci to join, and he wrote, quote, my preference is to keep this group really tight. Obviously, ask everyone to treat in total confidence, unquote. Dr. Redfield, you were excluded from this call, but up until then, you had been on every single, you were included in every other conversation. What changed? Why do you think that you were excluded from these conversations?
Thank you very much. I think just to emphasize, in early to mid-January, I did have multiple calls with Fauci, Farrar, and Tedros about how important I thought it was that science get engaged in aggressively pursuing both hypotheses. I also expressed, as a clinical virologist, that I felt it was not scientifically plausible that this virus went from a bat to humans and became one of the most infectious viruses that we have with humans. All viruses are not the same. So when you look at coronaviruses for SARS and MERS, for example, when they entered the human species, which they did via an intermediate, they never learned how to go human to human. Even to this day, they don't know how to go human to human. So you can't equate Ebola with a coronavirus.
Now, why do you think you were excluded from those calls?
Because it was told to me that they wanted a single narrative, and that I obviously had a different point of view.
Okay. In emails following the conference call, four of the 11 scientists told Fauci that they all found the genetic sequence inconsistent with expectations from evolutionary theory, basically what you're saying. However, just 3 days later, these four scientists had drafted a paper arguing the exact opposite, and that's now the infamous proximal origin of SARS-CoV-2. Our investigations show this paper was prompted by Dr. Fauci, among others, with a goal to disprove the lab leak theory. What is the likelihood that these scientists came across additional information just 3 days after making these statements to conclude with such certainty that COVID-19 came from nature instead of the lab leak that they thought it was 3 days earlier?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate. Again, I've said this before, that this whole approach that was taken on February 1st and subsequently in the month of February, if you really want to be truthful, it's antithetical to science.
Thank you.
Science has debate, and they squashed any debate.
Thank you. Given what we know now and looking at all the conversations in February of 2020 and before the release of the paper, do you think that Dr. Fauci used this paper to hide the gain-of-function research created, this virus?
I can't talk about Fauci's motivation.
Do you think that the paper does hide the truth?
I think it's an inaccurate paper that basically was part of a narrative that they were creating. Remember, this pandemic did not start in January at the seafood market. We now know there was infections all the way back into September. This was a narrative that was decided that they were going to say this came from the wet market, and they were going to do everything they could to support it to negate any discussion about the possibility that this came from a laboratory.
I got 20 seconds left. Dr. Fauci was affirmatively told in an email that NIAID had a monetary relationship with the Wuhan Institute through EcoHealth Alliance. He was told this in January 27th of 2020. Do you think that Dr. Fauci intentionally lied under oath to Senator Paul when he vehemently denied NIH's funding of gain-of-function research?
I think there's no doubt that NIH was funding gain-of-function research.
Is it likely that American tax dollars funded the gain-of-function research that created this virus?
I think it did, not only from NIH, but from the State Department, USAID, and from DOD.
Wow. I mean, wow. Let's just take a moment here, folks, and try to remember any time that we've heard anything that dramatic happening up on Capitol Hill. This makes Nixon and in trials over, you know, whether or not you tapped a phone. We are talking about government officials conspired to create a narrative about a virus that was sweeping the planet. How you would deal with it would obviously help if you knew where it was coming from. And the head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is not being allowed as a part of the conversation, even though he's on the task force. I mean, I remember we were talking about this throughout, you know, we kept saying, I had FOIA requests out through Aaron Siri saying, I just want all the emails between Fauci and Redfield that are just written in all caps. It was so clear that there was no love lost between these two, but we didn't know why. Now we find out he's not being, you know, brought into any of the conversations, and yet CDC is going to take the fall for having, you know, misplayed this virus. It's outrageous. I mean, it's amazing to think where this is all going.
These are sound bites for the history books. And yeah. In a culture we have of fast media, we really need, like you said, take a breath and understand this is probably closer to the truth than we've ever received before, we've ever heard. And from the get-go, I have a tendency to trust Redfield more than Fauci because he was the one in 2020 sounding the alarms about the increased suicide seen from the school closures and the opioid overdoses. And he was saying, got to open these schools. He was saying that against all the public health advice at the time. So he has a record of at least wanting to do the right thing. So now we have Jim Jordan, Congressman Jim Jordan, who is a co-chair at this committee. And he gets on the mic and he really goes for it. And so remember last week we were talking about Christian Anderson. He was the one who originally started off this text message string or this email string from the FOIA request from Scripps. And we have Robert Gary from Tulane University. These are the guys who eventually received some money after they went looked the other way and initially saying, I think this looks not natural, and all of a sudden it's just natural and it's conspiracy theory to think anything else. Let's listen to Jim Jordan ask Redfield some questions. This is great.
3 years ago, if you thought it came from a lab, if you raised that, you were called a nut job. You got censored on Twitter. You were blacklisted on Twitter. You were even called a crackpot by the very scientist who in late January sent emails to Dr. Fauci and said it came from a lab. They called you crackpot. Is that right, Dr. Redfield?
I think the most upsetting thing to me was the Baltimore Sun calling me a racist because I said this came from a Wuhan lab.
Dr. Redfield, you ran the CDC and you were on the coronavirus task force. Is that right?
Correct.
That was formed on January 29th, 2020. Is that right?
Correct.
2 days later, Dr. Fauci gets an email from Dr. Anderson, which says what?
I wish I knew.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
A certain measure of righteousness, a certain amount of force, a certain degree of determination, daring on a different course.
Welcome back, Liberation Station Radio Show. Chris Steiner with you, and we will resume with the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree and Jeffrey Jackson's weekly appearance, just the last 5 minutes. We're in the home stretch, and then we can move on to Fauci and take your call, see what Fauci has to say about all this. So when you're ready, Sam, please resume that clip.
Virus looks engineered, virus not consistent with evolutionary theory. Is that accurate?
That's my understanding.
Next day, I know. Did he share that email with you, by the way, Dr. Redfield?
No.
As a member of the task force, as a head of CDC, did he share that email with you?
No.
Okay. Next day, February 1st, Dr. Gary sends Dr. Fauci another email. That email says, I don't know how this happens in nature, but it would be easy to do in a lab. Did he share that email with you, Dr. Redfield?
No.
You didn't see either one of those emails, even though you're head of CDC, even though you're on the coronavirus task force, that had been formed just 3 days earlier.
No.
3 days later, Dr. Anderson and Dr. Gary, who told us it came from a lab and emails to Dr. Fauci that Dr. Fauci wouldn't let Dr. Redfield see, 3 days later, they changed their position 180 degrees. The question is why? Mr. Wade, why would they change their position that fast when the only intervening event is a conference call with Dr. Fauci, the guy who wouldn't let Dr. Redfield see the very emails that they had sent him? Dr. Redfield, head of CDC on the coronavirus task force. Why would they change their position, Mr. Wade?
Well, if you're looking at the timeline, on May 21st, a few weeks after the Nature Medicine article had come out, two of the signatories of the original email to Dr. Fauci, that's Dr. Anderson and Dr. Gary, were awarded a $9 million grant for the...
So there's 9 million reasons why they changed their mind. I knew you'd get to it. I read that last night. 3 months after... So 3 days after they say it came from a lab, they changed their position, and the only intervening event's a conference call with Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins. Again, a call that Mr. Redfield was not allowed to be on, the head of CDC and on the coronavirus task force. And then 3 months later, shazam, they get $9 million from Dr. Fauci. Well, isn't that something?
I mean, we've been reporting on this, obviously. It's not necessarily news to us, but what is news is this is now a part of it is going down on record right now inside of the Congress. This is getting serious. These are serious, serious allegations. We are talking allegations. I mean, we're talking about, you know, millions of people worldwide dying from this thing for all various reasons, all of which have been reported here. But now we're getting to the bottom of it. Who was involved? Clearly, Redfield was left out because he saw this differently.
Right. And so there's been a lot of information, a lot of internal emails. This is a lot for everybody to really comprehend sometimes because we go so deep in these investigations. But, you know, this next piece, send this to your family, send this to your friends if they're still on the fence about this. We have the director, former director of the CDC, a part of the coronavirus task force, at the genesis in 2020. Before the response happened, this was shaping this response, what they decided of where this thing came from. And this is a virologist as well, Dr. Redfield. And listen to what he says here.
Has gain of function stopped a pandemic, in your opinion?
No, on the contrary, I think it probably caused the greatest pandemic our world has seen.
Wow. I mean, that's incredible. You know, these science laboratories, man's mistake. Clearly more dangerous than any God-given virus we've seen. And I've said it before, if we keep allowing the pharmaceutical industry to make products that don't go through proper safety trials and then get forced by government mandate upon all the humans on this earth, our species we're not going to survive this level of stupidity. Luckily, right. It looks like many of us may have made it through this one, but we got to stop this now. Incredible, yeah, Jeffrey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the gain of function is being used as the excuse. We have to do this this research in order to make vaccines, in order to catch the next pandemic before it starts. And there's Dr. Redfield, virologist, at the beginning of this whole thing, to saw how it unfolded, saying, giving that warning to stop this gain of function research. And I think that's important just to leave the audience with, because it's one of the most important messages here.
Absolutely incredible reporting, Jeffrey, and so huge. And to see, you know, some of the things we're doing looks like it's making it into these conversations. Just a really spectacular time. And as I've said, I really believe it's time for indictments. It's time for arrest. And I think this is moving in that direction. So we'll see how this goes. I want to thank you for your great reporting this week, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Del.
And as it was just flashed.
And that was the excellent appearance of Jeffrey Jackson, the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, March 9th, 2023. Check it out at thehighwire.com. And to comment on some of what he had to say briefly before we get over to clip number two is check out the sworn testimony of Dr. Richard Fleming last year, where he's stating that SARS-CoV-2 was certainly genetically engineered. He explains why. And we'll pick it up when we get back here in the last half hour of Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm Chris Steiner. Stay tuned.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some people need their fears. They think it makes life clear. No one's on earth alone. Yet everyone's on their own.
Liberation Station Radio Show, Chris Steiner, the last half hour with you, and we will resume now with what does Fauci have to say to all of this news this past week. We'll play clip number two of him in an interview on CNN being interviewed by Jim Acosta. I think that was yesterday. It was posted online yesterday. Sam, when you're ready, please roll that clip.
Instead of arguing back and forth, why don't we do the things that need to be done to prevent this from happening again, regardless of what the origin was? If the origin was a lab leak, we've got to make sure we shore up the safety procedures that are done when people in labs are working with pathogens. And if it's an origin from the natural occurrence, we've got to make sure we pay much more attention to the animal-human interface and put restrictions on the kinds of animals that come into these wet markets, particularly in China and in Southeast Asia. Those are the things we should be concentrating on.
But simply put, you're not opposed to the intelligence community putting that information out there, as long as you're not jeopardizing sources and methods and that sort of standard thing.
Right. You know, I mean, obviously, you want to get as much information. If there have been recent, as you know, discussions that the Department of Energy has first said that they didn't think it was a lab leak, and now with low confidence, they're saying that it's a lab. I don't know what low confidence means, Jim, and I think that's what's confusing people, and that's the reason why we really got to get down to the bottom of this.
Yeah, do you think that was a mistake for the Department of Energy to put out that kind of conclusion, a conclusion with low confidence? Did that muddy the waters in your view?
No, Jim, I don't want to be criticizing agencies. I mean, it just I'll stay away from that. That's not helpful.
Well, let me ask you about another agency, and I know you've already had some discussions about this, but former CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield, your former colleague in the Trump administration, has accused you of excluding him from a conference call in early 2020 that included a discussion on whether COVID may have stemmed from some sort of lab leak. Just to get that on the record, what is your response to that?
Yeah, that's unfortunate, Jim. I have already commented on that, but I'll set the record straight for you here. And that's completely unequivocally incorrect. And I'm really sorry he came to that conclusion. Someone may have told him that. I had nothing to do and no choice about who would be on or not on that phone call. And at a public hearing, it's unfortunate he accused me of excluding him for reasons that I didn't agree with what his conclusion would be. But nothing about that makes sense, Jim. A, as a fact, and you could ask any of a number of people on the call, that I didn't exclude him because I had no say as to who was on the call. And secondly, his concern about being excluded because his idea disagreed with mine, we had half the people on the call agreed that it might be a lab leak. So the rationale that he puts forth for being excluded doesn't make any logical sense because half the people on the call didn't agree with that. So I'm not so sure what he's talking about. It's unfortunate that he made that statement publicly because it's not true.
And that conference call that was in question, that apparently was tackled at this House subcommittee hearing this past week. Were you invited to appear at that hearing?
I was not. I have not been invited yet to appear at the hearings. I suspect that I will be. I think it would be a good idea to hear from all sides, but I have not yet been invited to appear before a congressional hearing recently. I've done many before, but with this particular topic, I have not.
And I know you've supported the theory, we were just talking about this, that the virus came from natural causes instead of a lab leak. You've said you're open to the evidence wherever it goes.
All right, we're done with that clip, or we can cut it off there. All right, there you heard enough of Fauci for now, and I'm sure we'll hear more in the future when he is brought in before Congress, when he is subpoenaed. And it's fortunate, it's encouraging now that a couple days ago, the COVID Origins Act of 2023 was passed unanimously in the House of Representatives, H.R. 1376. It's encouraging. Jeff Renz on the Alex Jones Show, I heard this week pointing out that he doesn't like the fact that it's pointed right at Wuhan. The investigation starts with Wuhan. It should start with Fauci, NIH, NIAID, EcoHealth, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and China, of course. It wasn't just China and their Wuhan lab, which was taken over by the Chinese government in September of 2019, just 3 months before SARS-CoV-2 was purportedly discovered. And this H.R. 1376 has a companion bill, Senate Bill 619. So we'll see how this goes and if we can educate our legislators that this needs to be revised to be more inclusive in the investigation. rather than just setting up China as the fall guy. We have enemies within our gates who are collaborators. I think that's all I have to say on that. We'll move on to other news after we take this call here. Lynn in Maryland, good morning. Excuse me, Sam, what was that? Who was that? Lynn in Maryland? I'm sorry, let me go back and look. Maybe it's... Oh, Frank in New York. All right, Frank, we're ready for your phone call. Sorry, Frank.
Okay. Oh, no problem, Chris.
I had to take calls, so I didn't know who was in line here. Good morning.
Yeah, yeah, no, I understand that. And I appreciate Sam saying, you know, because I've been waiting, but I've been able to hear everything, you know, with the speakerphone. And I'll tell you, you've gotten a mountain of knowledge out there. I'll tell you, if the people in this country could all hear this, your show, this 2 hours, maybe we would get some justification, some justice, I should say, in this country, and get Fauci and a lot of these people behind bars where they belong. You know, Chris, earlier you were talking about you're going to put out a thing about Trump and the things he did that you disagree with. You know, I got a lot of things that he broke so many promises, Chris. You know, if you go back and look, you know, he was going to build a wall. He didn't do that. He was going to jail Hillary. That didn't happen. He was going to bring the troops home to the Middle East. He didn't do that. He was going to get along with Russia. That didn't take place. He was going to overturn Obamacare. That didn't take place. He was going to start a vaccine commission. That didn't happen. No voter integrity commission that he promised. He was going to fix the infrastructure. He didn't do it. He was going to bring back Glass-Steagall. He didn't do that. And he was going to defund the sanctuary cities. And they kept getting their money. You know, Chris, after the election in 2016, 2 days later, him and Obama had a meeting, which the presidents have, okay, the outgoing and the incoming, during the last 10 minutes or so, maybe 15 minutes. He was in there for an hour and a half with Obama. He came out, and he looked like he saw a ghost, okay. Okay, Daily Mail's got the, you know, they got a couple of articles on that. They had a body language reader who saw him, and she said when he came out, he was fearful. And you can see the look in his face, his eyes. He's forcing smiles. He's meeting with Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and those rhinos. You know what I mean? But when you look at his eyes, you can see the fear in his eyes. And I think he was told then, look, here's what you're going to do. We either got this on you, or we're going to do this to your family. And then he broke, oh, so many promises. You know what I mean? And he's still out there pushing this vaccine. You know, it's disgusting in my opinion, and I feel bad calling in because you were putting out so much great information there, but you know, I just want to say, you know, Trump, these people who hang on to Trump, you know, and he's still pushing the vaccine. I mean, to me, they got to wake up here. We got to move on. Maybe DeSantis, maybe Bobby Kennedy, you know, RFK Jr. There's a petition out there. I signed it. I had some of my friends sign it, you know, to get him to run for president. I think he'd be great. You know, him, maybe Big Tree for vice president, whatever. But I'll tell you, you've been putting out a lot of great information, and I appreciate it. And I'll hop off and let the next caller come on. And thank you for the great job you're doing.
Back and listen and add it to my list here. Broken promises.
He smiles. He's meeting with Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and those rhinos. You know what I mean? But when you look at his eyes, you can see the fear in his eyes. And I think he was told that. Look at, here's what you're going to do.
Are you there, Frank? I think that's feedback. Okay. I guess we have feedback from one of the phone lines. All right, Frank. Yeah, it's, keeping your word is important. And, I'm not disappointed if DeSantis runs, though he did say March of 2021 that he was not going to run for president. I, of course, do want him to stay since we have the 10th Amendment, Article 4, Section 4, that secures for each state a Republican form of government. But I'm concerned that if he does decide to run for president, which he is making noises that he will, because I've heard him on the Clay Travis interview a couple weeks ago when he was asked, he said that he would wait for this legislative session to be over before he makes an announcement or decides or something to that effect. So he has left the door open, and he probably will run for president, or he's at least considering it, whereas before he said he wasn't. So if you change your mind, you have to give a good reason, I think. Give out at least some excuse. And even though that's one little thing I know, but it's still a consideration for me. And this past week also, DeSantis had a Trump rally. Well, I won't blame him, but I have seen the video of the security guard kicking out people, kicking them off the premises at the book signing DeSantis was holding. And the security guard claimed that it was due to DeSantis saying that the Trump supporters with their signs were not allowed. How do you expect people to speak with each other of differing opinions if you exclude them from your own event? I mean, it's not as if, you know, you go to these rallies like I've done in, I remember 2008 when Obama was here in Dunedin, the next town over, and I held up a sign that just read, and I, you know, I came in, by the way, the admission said that I wasn't supposed to have signs, but he, for some reason, he agreed that, hey, I have a good sign. Even though he didn't know what it meant, he decided to let me in with my sign that was folded up in my shirt. It just simply read in big fat letters, Obama plus McCain equals CFR, because McCain was running and Council on Foreign Relations, they're both, of which they are both members, both globalist, anti-American, members of that anti-American organization. And right after I put that sign up, Obama abruptly stopped his speech. Yeah, I held it up right in front of him, and he's right there in the middle of the baseball field at the Blue Jays Stadium in Dunedin, next town north of me, here in Clearwater. And yeah, he probably knew what it meant, but I wanted to do it for the sake of pricking his conscience and encouraging people to do a web search. So the moment I put it up, pretty much he stopped his speech, and then a lady came and grabbed my sign, my poster board, started walking down the steps. I grabbed it back from her with both hands and dragged her back up the steps. She was holding onto my sign. She wouldn't let go. Fortunately, the sign didn't tear. I held it back up. Had about five other people assaulting me and my friend who's holding the camcorder, and the police didn't want to charge them, and they were trying to fault me for holding a sign. So, you know, you have these public officials and public property, and in DeSantis' case, this was at a Barnes & Noble private property, but still, are you afraid of radical reactionaries so much that you have to stop people's freedom of speech? I say let a bully act like a bully. That's my purpose, I think, is I don't care if they don't like me when I call into a radio shows or confront somebody. I just want them to act like a bully. I mean, if they're going to act like a bully, that's great. But I do want to persuade them, try to persuade them, act as professional as possible. So, yeah, anyway, I don't like what I've seen if that was DeSantis excluding those folks with the Trump signs, and I've yet to see if DeSantis has spoken out on that. I'd like to see him addressed on that. He's also supported the open carry. He'd like to see an open carry provision added to a permitless concealed carry bill that's in the Florida legislature right now. Though he didn't come out and say that on his own. He had Luis Valdez, an activist, Luis Valdez, confront him at a book signing, and not confront him, but ask him if he supports open permitless carry, and he says that he does. So now that was made an issue after Luis Valdez's video was leaked. Why couldn't DeSantis have come out and said it in the first place on his own? So fortunately, it takes a citizen journalist to press those politicians, celebrities, public figures, and get them to say what they really think. Maybe he wasn't wholehearted in his belief, but now he has to go all in now that it's out there on video. All right, let's get back to the calls. Let's get back to, we have two more calls. We have Lynn in Maryland, Dave in New York. So good morning, Lynn. How are you?
Thank you very much, Chris. Fine, thank you. Good morning. Do you know which subcommittee hearing that was in the date?
With Robert Redfield?
Yes.
I don't.
Was it the Judiciary Committee on, was it on the coronavirus, or was it weaponization of the federal government?
Well, it's the COVID Select. It's I think it's a series of days. It's the COVID Select, Committee on the coronavirus pandemic. So if you want to really keep updated on this, thanks for asking, reminding me. Go to, you can see,
I'm not online.
Keep updated on this and other videos. If you're on Twitter, go to twitter.com/COVID Select. twitter.com/COVID Select, and you'll find the most up-to-date info there from the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic.
Okay, I'm sure that's helpful to for other people. I'm not online. Last Thursday, there was a U.S. House Judiciary Subcommittee on Weaponization of the Federal Government, and I can actually answer the question you answered earlier, though I just lost my page. And this had to do with the Twitter files. Actually, if the federal government is involved with social media and they are the ones ordering posts to be taken down, so that the only narrative is out that's out there is the one they want people to hear and know, they can control the conversation and what is understood as fact when it's not the fact.
Right.
And people's opinions aren't out there.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
All right, let's return now back. Come back here for the Ration Station radio show. Let's see, is Lynn still on the line?
Yeah, Chris, I'm still here. I'll go real quick because you said Dave's waiting. I think we're at a tipping point. And if we don't have a free press that can report like your sign, the biggest thing about you and that sign in front of Obama is somebody in the press could have picked it up. It could have been in a picture. You know, if we are silencing our press or keeping even the press from the information, it's bad enough online with everybody being pushed around with algorithms so you only live in your own bubble and you don't hear any truth. You'll hear what you want to hear, which may not likely be the truth.
You see a stadium full of people, you might falsely assume they're all there to support him rather than whip out a sign like myself.
It's even in the hearing on China the other day. There were code pink people there who had signs, and a sign was upside down. The chair even pointed that out when the guards were taking them out. But they made it clear, we don't live in China. Don't arrest them or anything. You know, we have a right to free speech. You shouldn't be disrupting a congressional hearing, but we do have the right to redress.
Right. All right.
And
thank
that's
you,
important
Lynn.
That we not lose that
back,
and know the
we
fact.
Move on.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you very much.
You thanks, Lynn. To comment on that real fast is that Matt Taibbi, the Rolling Stone reporter, former Rolling Stone reporter, posts on his Twitter, this is a devastating email. Here's Stanford's Virality Project, which partners with multiple state agencies recommending against, quote, stories of true vaccine side effects, end quote, and, quote, true posts that could fuel hesitancy, end quote. And in that, I'll just mention this stories that of individual countries that are stopping COVID shots. So isn't that kind of proof that there's a new world order if they want to exclude stories of individual countries declining the COVID shots? All right, Dave in New York, good morning. What's on your mind?
Trying to fix things in the U.S. Yes, are you there?
Yeah, I read you.
Okay. All this talk of fixing things in the U.S. Is void if judgment is determined on the U.S. and there's no turning back for it. That's God's judgment. There's a prophecy, Changes Ahead, which I can put in the show comments. Basically, the thesis is that that after the exit of Trump, it could result in civil war, which would be the next step to soften the target for Russia-China invasion. All kinds of things would be happening, but it basically, America will be frustrated. America deserves that frustration as punishment for pride, disobedience, and thinking she can always work outcomes according to what she wants. And he's allowing this frustration to the U.S. for idolizing politics, politicians, and Donald Trump in particular. Now, I would have included, if it was me, sports, but he didn't. That's not included in the prophecy. You think politics and the politicians are going to save you when it was repenting from sin that would save people. So the individual saving, yes, but the nation, the U.S., no. That's the message of that prophecy. And if that's true, why are we wasting our time on talking about all these ways to fix things? Yes, we have to expose evil works of darkness, but a duck and cover, something else.
I say call
into maybe
talk shows. I'd say to take what you learn here and call into talk shows. Sorry, Dave, we don't have more time.
What good is that talking doing?
I'm saying make them try to justify whatever they're doing when they're taking these edicts from on high.
No, it's sin. It's our lack of repentance personally. It's not all these people doing this to us. They can't do it if they don't have permission by God.
Well, I'm taking individual action. I encourage individual action, so... I'm sorry, Dave. We ran out of time here. I'll catch up with you later, and thanks for tuning in this Liberation Station radio show on 12/8/23. So next time, take a break.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.